We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
So, so thank you. Thank you for the amazing welcome. It's an honor and it's a privilege to be here with you, sharing the message that I believe God has planted in me to deliver this morning. You know, even as Pastor was praying for me, I was thinking, it's amazing to have leaders who can support us the way that our leaders do. We know that even as we are ministering or doing whatever we're doing, we are not doing it on our own. We've got a support system that is backing us. So, Pastor, I just want to appreciate your prayer, and I just want to appreciate everyone as well for the prayers. I know that even as I was praying during the week, I was aware that I'm not praying on my own. So thank you very much for all that have been praying. Thanks to my wife, and thank you for everyone else that was praying as well. Now, we've got a full house. We've got a lot of people here today, so smile, relax. This is a nice place to be in. We are friendly people. And I'm going to share with us today from the message, the same series that Pastor highlighted to us that we started on last week, which is called A City on a Hill. Now, today, we continue this message. We continue this series looking at the story of Joseph. And the title of today's message is A City on a Hill is Different. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to read our scriptures for today. So our text comes from, we've got two texts. The main text is from Genesis 41, 37 to 44, which reads, "And Pharaoh said to his servants, 'Can we find such one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?' Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you.' And Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt.' Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had. They cried out before him, 'Bow the knee.' So he set him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, 'I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all of Egypt.'" Our supporting scripture comes from Matthew 5, 14 to 16, which reads, we're familiar with this, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Amen. This is the reading of God's word. Amen. Amen. So, the series we're going through is called A City on a Hill. Help me. What is it called?
A City on a Hill.
Okay. So, when I say to you, picture a city in your mind, a city on a hill, what do you envision? Give you a second. If we move to the next slide, it should be, hopefully, something along the lines of this. When we think of a city on a hill, the ideas that come to mind are elevation. A city on a hill, by natural position, is elevated from the ground. It is not on the same level, same plane as every other city around it. A city on a hill is well protected A city on a hill has a natural defense element about it, which is its altitude. It makes it very hard to successfully land an attack on it because of where it's situated. It is on high altitude. A city on a hill has all its eyes on it. It is on display. A city on a hill isn't like any other city around it. It is different in position. It is different in function. It is different in numerous other ways. And today, we want to look at the life of Joseph. To me, this man is an amazing example of a city on a hill personified. You see, with Joseph's life, what's amazing is we're given a lot of detail about Joseph in Genesis. In fact, I believe in Genesis, after Abraham and after Jacob, Joseph might have the third most chapters dedicated to him than everyone else. And yet, this man was not in the bloodline of Christ. Isn't that amazing? Clearly, this is the case because God is trying to show us something. God has given Moses this download of all this detail because in the life of this man, in the details of the life of this man, there is something that God wants us to capture. There is something that God wants us to understand. Joseph was the embodiment of what Jesus was talking about in our supporting text when he said, "You are a city on a hill." He was someone who let his light shine for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Today we want to touch on a few things that we can learn from the life of Joseph. Point number one, a city on a hill is excellent. And I also think it was an excellent thing that Pastor mentioned, I need a lot of water. A city on a hill is excellent. Joseph was a man with a spirit of excellence. Now, I know the concept, thank you. I know the concept of a city on a hill is not easy to visualize and grasp in our day and age because we don't just see cities like the one that we just saw on the screen. But I'll help you. I'll bring you closer to home. We have all seen the pictures of these houses on a hill. Not just any hill, Beverly Hills hills. They look amazing. They are built to high spec. They are built to stand out. They are built in a manner that when you see them, they are meant to take your breath away. They cause a reaction of awe. It's amazing. It's like, what am I looking at? This is like a living picture frame. They are stunning. They are well placed. They are not an annoyance to the scenery. They complement the scenery and make it look amazing and lovely. Now, we all know that for this to be the case, there has to have been an investment. You do not get to this level of excellence with no investment. You have to invest to get to this level of excellence. I think most of us will agree that doesn't just look amazing, but it looks right. It looks fitting. There is something about something as excellent as that and a hill being put together. It looks fitting. It looks like they are made for each other. The reason why we are in agreement about this is because we intuitively all have an understanding that when it comes to things of excellence, they belong at the very top. Excellence, by its nature, belongs to the top shelf. In a similar manner, it is not fitting for a man with a spirit of excellence to remain at the bottom. Excellence, by its nature, attracts elevation. Genesis 39:2-4 reads, I'll cut in and start probably in 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. This is speaking of Joseph. And that the Lord made all he did prosper in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had put under him, he put under his authority. He elevated Joseph. Genesis 39:21-23. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in prison. Whatever they did, there it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Genesis 41:38, and Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such one as this? A man in whom the Spirit of God is in." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and as wise as you are." Pharaoh also said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without you, without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all of Egypt." Potiphar, the prison warden, Pharaoh, all men in positions of authority, when they encountered Joseph, when they encountered his work, when they encountered his conduct, they concluded that this man does not belong there. This man belongs here. This man is top shelf material. A spirit, a man with a spirit of excellence on standard ground is a waste. And Pharaoh, Potiphar, and the prison warden understood this, and they were compelled to respond. They couldn't ignore excellence just left around lying on the floor. They had to pick it up and elevate it because it was fitting. Amen. Amen. Excellence belongs and resides at the top. Now, even our world systems understand this. When someone is competing in the Olympic Games and they win in the events that they're competing in, so they don't only get given medals, but as they are being given medals, they stand on what? On a platform. And that platform mimics a hill. So even by the world system, we understand that those that excel belong at the very top. You know what? Even the religious cults and other religions out there seem to have a grasp of this principle. I'll tell you why. You see them go to the top of the mountains to worship their God. Why are they at the top of the mountains? Because they understand that because their belief is that their God is excellent, they believe and understand that excellence can only reside at the top. You cannot search for excellence on normal ground. You have to climb to the top to find excellence. Hallelujah. Amen. Excellence attracts elevation. Now, here's the issue. So, most Christians nowadays want an easy, pain-free, and convenient Christianity. We want to be at the top without the investments, without the trials, without the discipline that transforms our content so that what we have is top-shelf material. You see, because Jesus has titled us as a city on a hill, there's an element of confusion there because we misunderstand where God is speaking from. Let me explain. When Joseph was given the dream and he had the wheat and he had the heavenly bodies bowing down to him, That dream wasn't because at that very point he received that dream and title, Joseph was ready material to be in that position. That dream was looking to the future. When Gideon was called a man of valor, it wasn't because he had slain 1,000 already and had a clean record of being a successful warrior. In fact, he was found threshing wheat in a winepress hiding. There was nothing that said man of valor about him. So when God called him that, he wasn't speaking from within time. God resides outside time. So when he's speaking to you and telling you of your position, when he is calling you a city on a hill, you need to understand that our God that resides outside time is speaking to your Alpha, giving the coordinates of how to get to your Omega. Our God is telling you how to move from your beginning to your end. He's giving you coordinates. He's giving you a focus point. Amen. The problem is most of us misunderstand this. We think when Jesus calls us a city on a hill, we are already there. We think we do not need to do anything. We do not need to be polished. I do not need to go through any training. I do not need to go through intense fasting, intense prayer, intense submission to leaders that will walk with me and polish me and take me to the level that God wants to place me on, to be a city on a hill that shines perfect light of God to people. To get to our Omega, we need discipline. Discipline usually births excellence. I once heard a preacher say this. It captured my mind. He said, in today's world, the one place where you might struggle to find excellence is in the church. You will ask people in church to do a job. They will do a half job, and they will submit it to you. And when you ask what that is, they will convince you that you need to use eyes of grace to accept their half job sufficient. We are not wanting to put the effort. We want to cut corners using the name of grace, and we want to be declaring ourselves as a people who are ready to reside at the top of the hill. We want to move as people who have contents to be at the top, but we are not willing to get down on our knees, get our hands dirty, and actually work out within us the content of excellence. It's no wonder the world no longer looks at the church for solutions. Why would you? It's become clear that when you look at the majority of churches, the people that are at the very top have no contents. The people that are at the top are lacking in the spirit of excellence. They are like a spirit that is out of place. They are lost. So the world no longer looks at us, which is the opposite of what Jesus intended, because Jesus wants all eyes on us, because he is making us a city on a hill so that we can be an example, so that it will flow down to the rest of the cities around and they will mimic the excellence that they are beholding. I showed you that picture there. If we had the view of this, this is a hill, as you can see. And over here, you found a little shack. You'll be vexed in your spirit, because you'll be thinking, how have you looked at that and thought that you belong right next to that? You are spoiling the scene. You will be frustrated because you understand that excellence contaminates or flows, and anything that's next to excellence can't stand looking normal because it's not right. It's not fitting. Church, this is not a rebuke. This is a call to excellence. Amen. I believe what God is doing this morning is He's calling us to examine ourselves, to look at ourselves properly, put away eyes that are puffy and are giving you false vision. Look into your heart. Do you contain the spirit of excellence within you? I'll tell you what, Joseph did. For all the things that Joseph went through, you will struggle to find Joseph complaining. You will struggle to find Joseph revenging. You will struggle to find Joseph sulking and refusing to do his job. So even being wronged as he is, he still wants to excel and look after others around him and say, "You look upset, what's bothering you? I had a dream." And he excels, he goes beyond himself and he wants to help. He had a spirit of excellence. He had a spirit of excellence that means that his focus is not just on him. It has to overflow. It's too much. It has to overflow to those around him. Hallelujah. Church, God is calling us to a spirit of excellence. A city on a hill, point two, sorry. A city on a hill is not easy to offend. I'm going to take you to Cambridge with this one. Let's break down the idea of offense and taking offense. If you go to the next slide for me, one by one. Okay, that works as well. So, for you to take offense, first, you have to have identified something as an attack on you. If you're not being attacked and you're just offended, I don't know what that is. You have to have identified something coming towards you as an offense first. That's the first thing that has to be in place. Second, when that attack lands and troubles you, you have officially been overtaken by the offense that was launched towards you. Therefore, you have now been offended. When that attack lands but does not trouble you, you have not been overtaken by the offense that was launched towards you. Therefore, you have not been offended. Are we together? Now, not all attacks end up as a successful offense. In the same way, you and I can watch a boxing fight, and then when we talk after, one of us will say, "What an amazing fight that was." And then the other one will say, "What fight? That wasn't a fight. That was a beating." Now, both saw the same thing, but the other understands that for it to be considered a fight, the other opponent has to land punches that actually trouble the other guy he's fighting against. If the other guy has not been troubled at all, he was not in a fight. He was participating in a beating. He was not in a fight. So in the same sense, to be offended by something has to land on you, consume you, and overtake you. And therefore, at that stage, you have been offended. You have taken offense. You have taken offense. I'm going somewhere with this. Now, we now understand the idea of offense. We want to discuss, okay, now I understand that. How do I then move from a position of being under attack to all those attacks not necessarily always landing to me as an offense? So, we want to focus on how you can position yourself and understand that your positioning is related to your vulnerability to be offended. Now, a city on a hill is positioned in a way that makes it hard for you to successfully offend it. You don't just attack that like any other city on playing ground. You have to have good strategy to even make a dent. Your arrow will land over here, and it won't even hurt. It won't even be felt. You need to have a different strategy to successfully attack. attack a city on a hill and for that attack to successfully land. Are we together? Now, Joseph, like a city on a hill. I believe Joseph is like a city on a hill in terms of his position and how he handled things. He was wronged many times, but he was never offended. He was rebuked for sharing his dreams by his family. He was not offended. He was attacked. He was not offended. He was thrown in a pit and sold into slavery by his brothers. I have to pause here because I'm offended for him with this one. Because I think the idea of what happened here is easy to gloss over because you actually, when you hear them speak later, you understand how scary this was. So it talks about that they sold him to a people that were passing on the road, right? They sold him as a slave. They had no regard to who their blood brother was being sold to. I'll tell you what I mean. They, for all they knew, they could have been selling him to a person who would be using him as a human sacrifice. For all they knew, they could have been selling him to people that would use him as a sex slave. They had no regard. In fact, we find out in Genesis 42, 21, later, they say, are we not in this position because we saw the distress he had on his face when he pleaded for his life? This was scary. Joseph didn't know what his tomorrow was going to look like. This was a deep attack on his life. He was falsely accused of rape after he conducted himself with integrity. He asked the cupbearer nicely, remember me before Pharaoh when you've been freed. He was left to rot for 2 more years in the dungeons. I don't know about you, but any one of these offenses, attacks, easily capture your heart and put a bitterness in your heart because you will feel rightfully wronged with what happened. You'll feel like, that's not fair. Why is that happening to me? Any one of those attacks could easily consume our hearts with bitterness. Attacks are a part of our life. Jesus says, in this world, you will have many troubles, but because of what I have done for you, take heart, for I have overcome the world. Watch the wording. Jesus doesn't say, in this world, you'll face many troubles, but take offense. He doesn't say that. He says, take heart. What is take heart? What does that mean to me when my heart is hurting, when I'm in pain, when I've been wrong? What is take heart? What does that actually mean? Take heart means take your hurt, your troubled heart, and switch the way you handle your pain and the problem to a higher altitude, which is where God is situated, and God will give you a different perspective of what you just went through and how it aligns in his cosmos and what he is doing in your life. I believe Joseph did exactly just this, which is why Genesis 50, 19, 21, we find him saying, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear, I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke to them kindly. Church, you cannot comfort someone that you resent. You cannot speak kindly to someone that you resent. You cannot be investing in spending your money looking after their children when you are consumed with hate and bitterness for them. Joseph was able to do this despite of all the attacks that were coming his way because he did not take offense to those attacks. He took heart and took the troubles, the pain, to God, and God gave him a different perspective on how to handle this attack, this offense. Hallelujah. Amen. Joseph was able to say this because he had taken his troubles to God, and God revealed to him how to heal over this trauma. Now, this mindset, this attitude, this way of life places you in a position where you are so high up that there is not many offenses that can get to you at the top. Most of the offenses will fail around here. It places you on a higher altitude. You become like a city on a hill, and by default, you become very hard to offend. You become very hard to successfully land an attack on. Church, I don't know how we handle attacks on our life, but I believe this morning God is calling us and saying, take heart. For I have overcome the world. Amen. The way you've been handling it of taking offense does not work. It causes bitterness. It causes rot. It causes resentment. It diverts you from the destiny that God has for you. Because bitterness is not the driver you want to take you to your Omega. Amen. Amen. Point number three. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Numerous times we see that the events dealt Joseph are a hard hand. Joseph was knocked down many times, but God always raised him up. His life, you could say, was a mapping up of high point, low point, high point, low point, high point, low point. I'll take you through them. He was given two exciting dreams about his future. Where are we with that? High point. He was heavily rebuked for those dreams. He was thrown in a pit and sold in slavery. Low point. He was promoted by Potiphar to be second in charge in the house. The word of God says he did not concern himself about anything under Joseph's authority. High point. He was falsely accused of attempted rape and thrown into imprisonment, low in the dungeons. Low point. The prison warden promoted him to oversee all matters regarding other prisoners. Even in the low point, he had a high point. High point. He interprets the dreams of the cupbearer and the baker, and he asks, remember me before Pharaoh? He's forgotten for 2 years. Low point. I don't know about you, but that's discouraging. That's discouraging. 2 years go by, and you were hoping, you were seeing a glimpse that I'm about to be out, and then 2 years you're left, low point. Now finally, Joseph was removed from the low depths of the dungeon. He was lifted up before Pharaoh, and upon interpreting Pharaoh's dreams and displaying exceptional wisdom never seen, Pharaoh concluded, this man does not belong in the dungeons. He belongs high point. He belongs second in command of this land. This is exceptional talent. This is exceptional, an exceptional spirit that cannot be kept hidden in the dungeons. Amen. It cannot be hidden. Pharaoh concluded when he encountered Joseph that he had to elevate him. When you look at Joseph's life, you can see there's like a force invested in redefining who he is. God has called him a city on a hill, and yet constantly there's a force committed, invested to redefining him as a city laying low on a valley. The word of God says, you are a city on a hill. The enemy can attempt to redefine you, but the God of Joseph has called you a city on a hill. He will not permit you to be hidden in the dungeon. He will raise you up. He will lift you up and place you at the top, just as he has named you. Church, I want us to remember this in our lowest moments, and this is amazing. I mentioned earlier that Joseph was not in the bloodline of the seed of Christ. So why then has God gone into the mode of causing hearts of a king to pay attention to this man in the dungeon and elevate him all the way to the top? It is because God was using Joseph to preserve the seed of Judah. See, there was a famine in the land that was even reaching out to Canaan. And if Joseph was not in his position to have the wisdom of understanding of what was about to come, Judah would have died of hunger. Amen. Judah would have died of hunger. So God takes Joseph, places him in a position as a city on a hill, as a light, as a lamp that is on its lampstand, so that when that famine comes, there is a light shining. How do we get out of here? How do we survive this? How do we handle this? And most importantly, how is the line of Judah preserved? Hallelujah. Amen. Church, I'm telling you this to understand that there is no pit. There is no bond of slavery. There is no dungeon that can keep you from your placement. You see, God has... There is generations invested in your placement on a hill. You missing being at the top of the hill can derail generations after generations. So therefore, God is not lifting you up just for display, for the fun of it, but there is a purpose behind it. God is making you a light on a hill because he wants to preserve lives. God will move hearts of kings. God will move whatever he needs to be moved, whatever he needs to move, so that you are situated where you need to be. We're told in the book of Acts, they imprisoned Paul. They put them in chains. But as they were singing, as they were worshiping, sorry, Peter, if you understand who Peter is, you will understand that he could not remain hidden in the cell, in the dungeon. He had to be broken out. There was a shaking as they were worshiping. They were broken free of their chains. The chains fell. The gates opened because God was saying, he does not belong there. Spit him out, just as he did for Joseph. He was in the dungeon and God commanded the dungeon, spit him out. And Joseph was situated rightly in accordance to God's word as a city on a hill. Hallelujah. Amen. Church, when you walk into a city, when you walk into a region, one of the things that you see that stands out is their high points. Yeah. When people came to Egypt looking for food, it was not possible to get the food without seeing Joseph. God lifted Joseph to be the high point of the city. When you came to Egypt, you had to see the high point because that is what God intends to do when he makes you a city on a hill. He does not intend to leave you hidden. You need to stand out so that even as people come in, they can see you and there's no confusion on that is where the light is coming from and that is where I'm going. Hallelujah. Church, I don't know what troubles you're going through. I don't know what dungeon is holding you. I don't know what bond of slavery is holding you. I don't know what pit has got you convinced you need soil thrown over you so that you remain buried. But I want to say to you today, you are a city on a hill and you cannot be hidden because a lot is invested in you by God. That affects generations after generations. Hallelujah. God placed Phil, sorry, if you can come to the front. God placed Joseph as a city on a hill. And through Joseph, many lives were preserved. God is placing you as a city on a hill. Amen. And through you, many lives will be preserved. Amen. Now, I sense this strongly. Amen. I'll say it one more time, then I'll come back to it. God is placing you on a hill because there is people he wants to preserve by positioning you on a hill. I sense in me there's people who are like, okay, I hear you, but that's for Pastor Anderson. That's for the pastors. That's for the elders. That's for the church leaders. But God is calling you to be a city on a hill, a city that cannot be hidden. God is not putting a condition. He is calling you, who is called his, to be a city on a hill. If you identify as his, you are called to be a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. So why should it be just the pastor that remains unhidden? Even as we close today, Phil's going to minister to us, and I want us to take a moment to really... I was challenged by this message to really go back and examine myself. Do I look like the city on a hill that I see in the image of Joseph? What am I lacking? What am I missing? I want to go before God as a challenge from this message. I believe this is a word for someone that it's time to wake up. It's time to stop pretending like the call is for many other people except you. I challenge you, find a scripture that backs that. You will not find it. We are all called to be a city on a hill, and we are all called not to be hidden. I want to encourage us to stand up.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.